नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 8 वर्स नंबर 8 एंड 9 कंसा पापमति सख्यं तवा च आनक दुंदुबे देवाक्या अष्टम गर्भा न स्त्री भावितुम आरति कंसा पापमति सख्यं तावचानकदुंदुबे देवक्या अष्टमो गर्भो नास्त्री भावितुमारति कंसा पापमति सख्यं तावचानकदुंदुबे देवाक्या अष्टमो गर्भो नास्त्री भावितुमारति कंसा पापमति सख्यं तावचानकदुंदुबे देवाक्यं अष्टमो गर्भो नास्त्री भावितुमारति Kapamati Sakyam Any Vaishnavis? Want to read? Chanakadundube Devakyastamo garbo Nastri bhavitumarati Kamsa King Kamsa Papamati Very, very sinful Having a polluted mind Sakyam Friendship Tava, your. Cha, also. Anakadundube, of Vasudeva. Devakya, of Devaki. Ashtamagarbha, the eighth pregnancy. Na, not. Stri, a woman. Bhavitum arati is possible to be. I will read myself the text 9th. Iti sanchitayan chutva Devakya Darika Vacha Apihanta Gata Shankas Daritan No Nayo Bhavet. Translation of both the verses. Kamsa is both a great diplomat and a very sinful man. Therefore, having heard from Yogamaya, the daughter of Devaki, that a child who will kill him has already been born somewhere else. Having heard that the eighth pregnancy of Devaki could not bring forth a female child, and having understood your friendship with Vasudeva, Kamsa, upon hearing that a purificatory process has been performed by me, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, may certainly consider all these points and suspect that Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. Then it might take steps to kill Krishna. That would be a catastrophe. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kamsa knew very well that Yogamaya was, after all, the main servant of Krishna and Vishnu, and that although Yogamaya had appeared as the daughter of Devaki, she might have been forbidden to disclose this fact. Actually, this was what had happened. Gargamuni argued very soberly that his taking part in performing the reformatory process for Krishna will give rise to many doubts, so that Kamsa might take very severe steps to kill the child. Kamsa had already sent many demons to attempt to kill this child, but none of them has survived. If Gargamuni were to perform the purificatory process, Kamsa's suspicions would be fully confirmed, and he would take very severe steps. Gargamuni gave this warning to Nanda Maharaj. Kamsa papa matissa kyam tava chanaka dundube devakya astamo garbo nastri bhavitum arati iti sanchitayan chrutva devakya darikavacha apihanta gatashankas tahi tano nayo bhavet. Kamsa is both a great diplomat and a very sinful man. Therefore, having heard from Yogamaya, the daughter of Devaki, that the child who will kill him has already been born somewhere else, having heard that the eighth pregnancy of Devaki could not bring forth a female child, and having understood your friendship with Vasudeva, Kamsa, upon hearing that a purificatory process has been performed by me, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, may certainly consider all these points and suspect that Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. Then he might take steps to kill Krishna. That will be a catastrophe. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Nyana Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavancha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostu Te Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyavacha Patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasa di Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. During Devaki matrimony, this voice from the sky said that the eighth child of Devaki would kill Kamsa, and Kamsa heard it. So this voice said, a son, not a daughter. So when the eighth child of Devaki came out as being a daughter, so some suspicion could have come in Kamsa's mind that something was not right, there was something special in this event. So he might suspect the truth that Devaki's child had been exchanged, and that is what happened. Kamsa didn't know that, but he could suspect it. And the whole point of bringing Krishna to Gokula was exactly this one, to hide the eighth child of Devaki. So this was the first point of Gargamuni, why Gargamuni was not really happy to perform the reformatory process for Krishna. The other point that Gargamuni presented to Nanda Maharaj is that Gargamuni was the Yadu's priest, and Krishna was supposed to be the son of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj was not a Yadu, was not a Yadava, was not in the family. So Gargamuni said, if I would perform the ceremony, Kamsa would suspect again that Krishna is actually Vasudeva's son, who was in the line of Yadu. So these two reasons that the Gargamuni presented to Vasudeva, suggesting that he be not the priest for Krishna's purificatory process. And we'll see from tomorrow, or better, after tomorrow, because tomorrow we are going to study Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are going to see the answer from Nanda Maharaj. So these stories are there for us. That's why Krishna came. Krishna comes in this world for three reasons, Bhagavad Gita states. And one of these reasons is to give pleasure to the devotees. So what is the pleasure of the devotees? When he says to give pleasure to devotees, and then to kill demons and reestablish that, the famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita. What is the pleasure of the devotees? Pleasure of the devotees is to remember Krishna's pastimes, to talk about it, and to remember them. There is nothing more pleasing to the mind, to the heart, than to talk about Krishna's pastimes and hearing and the process of telling the stories, hearing the stories, is to remember Shravanam, Kirtanam, and then Smaranam. If you don't talk about Krishna, and if you don't listen about Krishna, then you cannot remember, because you don't know. Knowledge comes from hearing. And actually, the process of Kirtanam and Shravanam are very much interlinked. Any preacher of Krishna consciousness knows that the best way to learn philosophy is to speak the philosophy. If you speak the philosophy, then it becomes rooted in your mind. But just reading, it goes away after a while. Any preacher knows this. So sometimes the devotees come and say, I'm not qualified to be a preacher, better I study. This is true up to a certain point, because after some time, or learning the basics, one should go and preach, never mind of qualification or disqualifications, because that is the best way to learn philosophy. That is the only way the knowledge becomes one with our mind. And preaching, that is so important. Of course, everyone should be honest with himself and with the others, and should not present himself or someone he is not. There are different kinds of preachings, preachers. One should not pose as a great learned scholar or a great advanced devotee if he is not. So when he preaches, he should be very humble and never be afraid of saying, "I don't know." People may ask very complicated questions sometimes. If you don't know, you don't know. It's not a shame not knowing. You just very honestly say, "I'm sorry, I don't know." You can talk to more knowledgeable devotees, or I'll get back to you. I'll go find out, and then I'll get back to you. Most of the questions coming from the people are about basic philosophy, but sometimes you find persons who very well know the philosophy and history. And while philosophy, you can try to, you know, to arrange in your mind some kind of answer. History, if you don't know, you just don't know. So it happened many times in my life of just saying, "I don't know." And people appreciate. But people will not appreciate if you say something that is false. Then when he finds out, then he says, "Oh, not only you don't know, but you are also an untruthful person," which is bad. Being untruthful is not good. So preaching life is the most wonderful life you can imagine, that you can desire. There is no better life, because it's very dynamic. It's dynamic internally and it's dynamic externally. You always meet people, and the interaction between you and the person makes a very, very intense type of internal life. And you will never get bored, even if you are alone. If you travel alone and you go to people you don't know, etc., you are never alone, because the philosophy and Krishna's pastimes are always within yourselves. And you are never alone, because you cannot preach if you don't think about philosophy, if you don't meditate on philosophy. There are two kinds of philosophies. One is the concepts, and the other one is activities of Krishna. You have to know both, because just philosophy, it gets dry. And you have to mix philosophy and pastimes. Otherwise, after a while, it becomes dry. Just concept. And people do not, both have to be together. Only pastimes will not do either. No, because pastimes may be very relishable for advanced devotees, but not for people, especially neophytes. Because if you don't explain why, then the pastime will not be received properly. There must be why. Why Krishna acted in this way? Why this devotee acted in that way? Advanced devotees do not need why. They just enjoy. I don't care why Krishna did that. You know, Krishna did it, and that's enough. But for people who has no a profound convincement in Krishna consciousness, they need wise, and we have to be ready to provide them. So it's very, very, very nice about this. So in these days, we have enjoyed very much talking about the devotees in our line, the devotees of, especially in this last week or 2 weeks, we have spoken about the second generation after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We cannot, we should not, never forget that we are here today enjoying these very sweet moments in Krishna Katha because Lord Krishna accepted to come down in this world. He accepted because some very nice devotees like Advaita Acharya asked him, please come. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was the Krishna's incarnation. He came down and he founded the Gaudiya movement. So we should never forget how important is Chaitanya Nityananda for us. You know, it's because Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda that we have Krishna. Without them, there was no Krishna for us. So they came and founded this movement that today is called ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Our movement, it comes directly from Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. This movement is the modern representation of ancient, although it's not so ancient, it's just a little more than 500 years of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's movement. So we, after Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came, he put the base, and then a second generation of devotees after Lord Chaitanya came, and again they started to spread Krishna consciousness all over India, you know. And we have spoken in these days about Srinivas Acharya. We have spoken about Narottam Das Thakur. And it should not be correct to speak about Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya without telling something about the third friend. They were a group of three, very close friends. They studied together. They were students together under Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada. So the third one is the famous Shamananda. Shamananda is another wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. It just life has no meaning without knowing the story. So, anyway, Shamananda Prabhu born in what today we call Orissa. At that time it was called Utkal. He born there, and he was a pure devotee from his birth. But he born in a very sad family. His mother and father, they were very sad because they had many sons and daughters. They all died. That's incredible. It was about eight of them, if I don't remember incorrectly. There were about eight between sons and daughters. They all died very soon after their birth. So mother and father, they were very, very sad. So when this child born, they were in total anxiety. So this one also is going to die very soon. And so they decided to call in Dukiya. Dukiya means very sad. So because he born in a very sad family, Shamananda was called Dukiya. But he didn't die. And actually, very learned Brahmanas in astronomy, in astrology, told his father, whose name was Krishna Mangal, that and his mother was Durika. It was the name of father and mother. That this child will be a great saint. So they were very happy. Still the name remained because how they call him, Dukiya. So when he, and obviously from the first years of their life, they were always very nice devotees, you can see. We have little Dukiyas here, nice devotees. They hear, they stay, they don't cry, they don't make mess. Maybe some, maybe in a few minutes she will start. Still, Shamananda, it was like this. He was sitting down, although very young, and though not philosophically ready to hear 1 hour one person speaking, but he was very disciplined and very serious. He would listen. So when he grew up, he started to desire a spiritual master, because there is no spiritual life without a spiritual master. Just impossible. So he heard about a very great bhakta, a very great devotee, whose name was Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu. He was living in Ambika Kalna. Ambika Kalna, I think today, is in Bangladesh. At that time, there was no Bangladesh. Bengal was pretty much united state. So he wanted to go there, and he actually went. So he started from his hometown in Orissa. He traveled. He was very, very young. He was little more than a kid at that time. He went there. First he went to Navadvipa, then he went to Ambika Kalna. There he didn't know where Hridaya Chaitanya was living, but he knew where Gauridas Pandit was living. And who is Gauridas Pandit? Gauridas Pandit was Hridaya Chaitanya Guru. He was his, and Gauridas Pandit is another wonderful story. We are going to tell this story some other time. We cannot tell too many stories, otherwise we don't finish either one. So he went to Gauridas Pandit's house, and before entering his house, he paid obeisances, dandavat. When you go to visit a very advanced Vaishnava, you should pay obeisances. Otherwise, you commit offenses. And while he was paying obeisances, who was walking nearby Gauridas Pandit's house? Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu. And he said, "Who are you?" And Dukhiya said, "My name is Dukhiya. I come from Utkal. And I am looking for my guru." My guru, and he said, "Who is your guru?" "My guru is Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu." And he said, "I am Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu." And he said, and then immediately offered the most respectful dandavats to his spiritual master. And he immediately gave him a name. He said, "Your name will be Krishna Das." Only after he gave him formal initiation. So Dukhiya came to know as Dukhiya Krishna Das. And he learned from his spiritual master. He stayed with him quite some time. When one gets a spiritual master, he should learn from him. He should not just take initiation and goodbye. That is not healthy. You should study, and you should serve the spiritual master. And this is what Dukhiya Krishna Das did at that time. So after some time, Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu said to his disciple, you should go to study under the greatest. Since you are so intelligent, then you should study under the most important acharya at this time. At that time, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami had already disappeared from this world. Sanatana Goswami disappeared in 1588, 6 years after. 6 years after Rupa Goswami disappeared, so. When Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu told Dukhiya Krishna Das to go to study under Jiva Goswami, Rupa Sanatana Goswami had already disappeared. So he arrived there after 1560. So when he arrived there, he went to Jiva Goswami and he made obeisances. One very important thing is that he traveled before going to Vrindavan. This is very common. Srinivasacharya did that, and Narottandas Thakur, everyone, when he goes to Vrindavan, especially when one goes to Vrindavan, he should visit other places. He, starting from Ambika Kalna, he went first to visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal house. And he found there his personal servant. Who remembers the name of this servant? Ishanathaku, yes. Ishanathaku. He was still very old at that time. He was a great, great personal servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he went also to Varanasi. He went in several places. He went to Varanasi and to visit. And Varanasi, he found and went to pay obeisance to the great acharyas, in particular to Chandrasekara and Tapana Mishra. He's still living. They're very old. They were living. Still in Varanasi. And then he went to Mathura. And the first place that he went to visit, this is etiquette. You can see how important is the etiquette. When you start Vrajamandal Parikrama, first you should go to this place in Mathura. Who knows the place? At Vishramagat. Yes, the Parikrama should start in Vishramagat. It's a very beautiful, very colored place. You can see the Ghat going into the Yamuna, and there is a big construction there with a lot of colors. it strikes the attention how colored it is all around. Because in Vrindavan there are a lot of these Ghats. Everywhere, even in Mathura, there are many of those. But Vishramagat is particular because... And he went to pay obeisance to the deity of Adikeshava, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited always. And then he went to Vrindavan. So this is very proper to do this, because this is Gaudiya Vaishnava etiquette. So he studied under Jiva Goswami, and we know the story, because we told the story when we spoke about both Srinivasacharya and Narottandas Thakur. So see how this Shamananda, at the time was still called Dukhiya Krishna Das, he was a great devotee. He was a pure devotee. He was ecstasy. He was crying. He was manifesting, and he asked a service. So what service Jiva Goswami gave him? Sweeping the street. You can imagine what is our culture. Our culture is based on seva. Our culture is based on humility. We should not think that a great, great service are better than washing pots or cleaning the temple. This is absolutely wrong. Service is absolute. Does not matter what service you do. It's sacred. This is my service. You should be jealous of your service. Take a service. When you come to the temple, have a service. Even if it is only, cleaning half of square, but it's yours. Just clean it perfectly. And while you clean it, you think of Krishna. And there is nothing more important than that. Much better a very humble servant than a so-called big, whatever. big devotee who does it with arrogance and presumptuous. Dukhiya Krishna Das was just cleaning the street. But it was not just any street. It was a street in front of Sevakunj. You know Sevakunj? Sevakunj in Vrindavan is still there. It's a wonderful place. It's a very special place. All the trees there are bent. There is no one straight tree. It's incredible. All around, outside the wall, the trees are normal. But inside the Sevakunj, the trees are very, very short, all bent like this. Because all these are Vaishnavas paying obeisances, because in that place every night, still, even today, Radha, Krishna, and the Gopis, they perform Rasa Lila. This was one of the Rasa Stalis. There are many in Vrindavan, not many devotees know, but it's not that Radha and Krishna do not do the rasa dance only there. There are many rasa stalis. Even in Govardhan there are many rasa stalis. So, but it was this particular rasa stali where Jiva Goswami sent Dukhiya Krishnadas to sweep the street, and he was sweeping. And while sweeping, he was meditating. He was such, and he considered himself the most important person in the world, in the sense that he was a servant. He was meditating in Krishna, and this very humble, simple service gave him the utmost, the greatest of ecstasy. So one day he found something on. He saw something in the street. There was a, what was the name of this? The ankle bell? Huh? Ankle bell. An ankle bell. You know, even today you find many ankle bells on, or bracelets or many other things, you know, that people just lose. So he found this and then he said, okay, when I will take it up myself, when the owner will tell me that it's mine, I will give it. This was not a normal ankh bell. This ankh bell came directly from Srimati Radharani while she was performing the rasa dance inside the Seva Kunj. He lost it while dancing. So, and after some time, Srimati Radharani and the gopis saw that Radharani was missing an ankh bell. So they said, oh no, we had to find it. Vishaka in person went around to see, and he saw the sweeper. The sweeper. The transcendental sweeper. The Dukhiya Krishnadas was still sweeping. Every day he would do his sweeping. And he said, did you find an ankh bell? And Dukhiya Krishnadas says, yeah, I found one. Oh, okay, give it to me. And he said, Krishnadas said, it is yours? And she said, no, it's not mine. Then he said, then okay, then tell to whoever it belongs to come to me and we'll give it to her. And Vishaka said, no, you should give it to me. That's my friend. He said, my very intimate friend, you give it to me and I will give it to her. But Shamananda was not in agreement. And he said, no, she should come here. I want to see who she is. And at that time, Srimati Radharani came there and showed a transcendental form to Dukhiya Krishnadas. And there was the story is quite large. And see how in a meditation, Krishnadas took the form of a gopi to be in contact, to be able to actually see Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And in this meditation, Srimati Radharani said, because I'm very satisfied with your service, the sweeping of the street and taking care of my ankh bells, then your name will be Shamananda. You know, and he received the name directly from Srimati Radharani, and now I will give you a tilak, a different type of tilak. Normally, this is the Gaudiya tilak, you know. But taking the ankh bell, Radharani, Srimati Radharani, designed a new type of tilak. And he put it on Shamananda. Forehead. So when he woke up from meditation, he was back in a male form, and he had this very special tilak. So he was going around, continuous sweeping, etc., and everybody was looking at this tilak. And everybody, all the Vaishnavas, said, what is this? This is speculation. What is this? It's very similar. It's just more stylized. Have you seen some of you has any idea than Shamananda's tilak? It's a little more designed like this, you know, with a curve in the both. In Vrindavan, you see many of those because there are many of Shamananda successors, no? With a point, with a dot in the middle, without a leaf. So the Vaishnava said, this is not good. You know, why do you invent things? You should follow the line. And Shamananda didn't reveal anything to anyone because Radharani told him not to say anything to anyone. But he revealed his mind only to Jiva Goswami, who said, yes, don't say anything and keep your name, Shamananda. Now your name is Shamananda. So the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan were kind of strange looking type of tilak, and the news arrived to his guru. And Gurudeva said, who invented a new type of tilak? What is this? Nobody should invent anything. Only acharyas can invent. And also, what is this all about, this new name? I call him Krishna Das. Why Jiva Goswami? Maybe it was Jiva Goswami. Reinitiated him or gave him this is very offensive. I cannot tolerate. So immediately he started from Ambikakala. And it took 4 months for him to go to Vrindavan just to protest. And his protest was very vehement. He beat Shamananda physically. He was lapping him. And he rebuked him for days. And Shamananda, very humbly, of course, and you cannot say anything to Guru. Guru is free to do what he wants. He's just independent. At the same time, Jiva Goswami was trying to defend him, but Srimati Radharani said, don't reveal anything to anyone. So they were not free to explain what actually happened. So since his great devotee was being so outrageously rebuked and beaten, Srimati Radharani herself came to Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu's dream, and he said, well, what are you doing? This is my great devotee. I gave him the name and I put him the new tilak in his forehead. So this is absolutely bona fide. So this is how he came. How Dukhya Krishnadas came to be known as Shamananda, and how he came to be this very particular type of tilak that even today you can see in Vrindavan. So the story goes on. It's quite a large story. Just in a few, maybe we can talk a little bit about in some other classes, but he went to preach. He went back to his hometown to preach. You know, while Narottam Das Thakur went back in Keturi, which is in today's Bangladesh, and Shamananda went back to Orissa to preach, and he became the main preacher, because after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the preaching in Orissa really, you know, wasn't going very good. So it was Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu himself who sent his disciple back to Orissa to preach Krishna consciousness. And of course, in Orissa, there is a very important acharya that everyone knows there, who is the main of a Shamananda's disciple. Who know the name, Pandits? Yes, it is Rasikananda, the great, great Rasikananda. We cannot miss to tell the story of Rasikananda. That's a beautiful story. We never get bored. We have thousands of stories. Next time we'll tell the story of Rasikananda. So, to conclude, to leave some minutes for questions, hope they are there, that pastimes, stories about Krishna, Krishna's devotees, they are there for our pleasure and purification. If we know the philosophy and we purify our heart, the philosophy purify intelligence, and pastime purify the heart. So if you are pure in intelligence by knowing perfectly our philosophy, and we purify our heart, speaking, hearing, and remembering Krishna's pastimes and his devotees' pastimes, then our life will be successful, and our preaching also will be successful. Any questions? Sir Prabhu?
When the body, there's different cells. That Prabhupada said that the body changes every 7 years, or he quoted some scientist saying that these cells are always changing. So within each cell, it's a living entity. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
Because each cell grows and dies, so it has a living entity inside of it. So that would mean that our whole body is made up of souls. So if our whole body is made up of spirit souls, then which spirit soul is the one that we call me?
Our body is made of two types of matter. One matter is the, animate, non-animate, there is another term, there is a scientific term for this. The matter who is living and matter is not living. Anyway, the body of the cells are non-animate type of their bodies. So there is a soul and a material body around. So we are the main, you call it the one who lives inside the house? Tenant? A tenant. We are the main tenant of this body. But this house is never a lonely house. There are other souls living in it, but we are the main one. So the purification of these souls, we are thousands and millions of souls in our body, depends on what we do with the body. So in this sense, we are responsible for the spiritual life, even ourselves, not only of the souls of Dallas. We are in charge also of the souls in our body. So by preaching, we purify the people, and by living, we purified ourselves. So the preacher always preaches, even when he's close in his home and looks like he's not doing anything. So it's very important to have a very saintly life. A very saintly life. Because we can help other people. Just like this morning in Mongolarti, there was one bug going around the temple. You know, she saw it. She got scared. I also saw it. Cockroaches. You never, this is the first time that I see one. It was going around, you know, it's inoffensive. It was bad. I know. Yeah, it's very ugly looking, I know, but it doesn't bite, it doesn't do anything, don't worry. So there are many people. So we are the owners of the temple, but there are other living entities inside the temple. So he got purified. He got purified by being in Mongolarti. Sometimes we don't come in Mongolarti. So he comes in Mongolarti. So it's very good. Good for him. Anyway, take it as a joke. But still, this is the principle. Prabhu? My microphone, please. We have hundreds of thousands of people who are listening to these classes. I receive a donation from, very small, $5, from Belgium 1 month ago because of a Bhagavatam class. So you can make money by giving Bhagavatam class. From Belgium, she was hearing our Bhagavatam class.
Yeah.
Please.
Probably last night I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and I read that at the time of annihilation, all the creation will basically go inside Vishnu, and then it will come out as it, fate and destination. So at the time of annihilation, whatever situation I have, if I come out again, I will come in the same stage. So I was a little bit kind of surprised there that once everything is annihilated and went back to Krishna, then we should be purified and come back as a pure soul. Why we have to come back as our original fate and destination?
A very good question. Yes, because we don't go back to Krishna. We go back to the Krishna's representation for creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material world. So we don't go back to the transcendental world. We are still inside pradana, inside the non-manifested and non-differentiated matter. There are three stages of material nature. One matter that is called pradana is non-differentiated and non-manifested. That's the first stage. That is what we are talking about. That when the soul comes back inside the body, it's still inside pradana. You see? Then this manifestation comes out of Vishnu's body. And then it's called prakriti. Prakriti means non-differentiated, but manifested. So because it's manifested, then Vishnu looks on matter, and the matter takes life. And then when it comes to the third stage, which is called Mahatattva, then it is ready for creation because not only is manifested, but also become differentiated. You cannot, in other words, build up a building if you don't have bricks and water and the tools differentiated, you know? So if all the tools were merged all together in one something, in one block of matter, you cannot use it because it's not differentiated. So when it becomes differentiated, then it's ready for creation. And of course, there are several stages of creation. And Brahma takes charge of all of each specific Brahma takes charge of building inside the universe because the matter is in the Mahatattva stage before in the Prakriti or Pradhana stage. Creation is not possible. It's not possible because it's not ready. You cannot manage it. You cannot use it. So when it comes the time for annihilation of the material universe, everything comes back into the Vishnu's body, but in the portion of material creation of Vishnu's body. So because we are not directly in contact with transcendental nature, then we cannot get purified. We have to come back again. Otherwise, if we were in contact with Vishnu's transcendental body, then we won't come back. Because it's not possible to come back, to come in this material world if you are purified. Unless, of course, you want to come, and then you are called an avatar. Avatar means someone who chooses to come. But we are not avatars. We fall. There is a difference between coming and falling. Like stepping down and falling down the stairs are very much different. We fell down in the material world. An avatar comes down in the material world.